Ready to get in the Word of God together. Great time and fellowship and His Spirit. It's always such a privilege and pleasure to share God's Word with you. There may be someone in this congregation who doesn't need to listen to this morning's message. If you have arrived, if you are where you want to be with God, if sin is no longer an issue with you and you're just up there on a place where there's nothing that's bothering you anymore, if all your relationships, if you're the best mother and father and a husband and wife that you could possibly be, then you may want to get your phone out and catch up on your Facebook. It's not tweets, is it? communications. But I'm looking for people, and I think that many of us fill this bill this morning, who want to make progress in our Christian lives. We want to be closer to God. We want to know more about God. We'd like to know more clearly what His will is for us. We'd like to be better fathers and mothers, and husbands and wives. We want to make some progress, some growth. We want to see some change. And I want to teach you about the most powerful agent for change in the universe. And then I want to train you this morning how to harness that power on a weekly basis, in such a way that you and those around you can actually see it making a difference in your life. Maybe even measure the difference that it makes in your walk with the Lord and in your life. That dynamic agent of change is the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. At God's command, our universe came into being. Then the scriptures outline how step by step He took the chaos of that first creation and ordered it into changes. He created light and atmosphere and continents and oceans and plants and animals and finally the human race in these stages of creation. They're all different phases, but scripture gives each one of them the same formula. Then God said, "Let there be," and then He filled in what was going to happen next. And the formula ended with this, and it was so. God said, "Let there be such and such," and it was so. The Word of God effects change. When God visited this planet 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ, He spoke and blind eyes could see. He spoke and twisted, gnarled, shrunken limbs filled out and became strong and coordinated, and they could walk. He spoke to a woman caught in a web of sexual sin that had become her life and her prison, and He said to her, He made a change in her by His word where He could say to her, "Go and sin no more." And she was freed from that. God still changes people and things by His word today in your life and my life. There's probably been a time in your life that you can think of when God spoke to you by some means, something you've read in here, something that was taught you from here, a circumstance you were in, by some means God spoke to you, gave you some understanding of something, and it made a change in your life, and there was progress. And I want to teach you this morning how to make that a regular occurrence. What I want to do to start out is read His guarantee. You know, have anybody ever bought into anything with a lifetime guarantee? And some of those things I've bought into, spend some money on, the company was out of business 2 years later. So the lifetime guarantee didn't work well. God is not going out of business, let me tell you that. And he makes a guarantee. And let's just stand. I want us to stand in honor of the word of God. And we're going to read Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 together. I think it's going to be on your screen. There you go. For just as rain and snow, let's read it with me. Just read it out loud. Just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat. Listen to this. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. Would you accept that guarantee from God? That his mind is full of all the truth of the universe. You can sit down. His mind is full of all the truth of the universe because he created the universe. And at times when we need it, he speaks that truth. And that truth travels in various ways, through various means. And when he sends it forth, it lodges in something. Whether in the depths of space or whether in the depths of our hearts. And it bounces back to him carrying that thing with it. It accomplishes just the change he meant it to accomplish. It succeeds in the mission he sent that word out. And so the question is, how do you get that life-transforming word of God in you? And there are various ways, and about this time, those of you who know me very well are thinking, okay, Jeff's going to preach another sermon on we ought to read the word every day and study it and learn it. And that's a great way to do it, okay? But that's not what the Lord's given me. There's several ways that the Lord's word gets into our hearts. But I want to share with you this morning one that has been one of the main ways through history and today, and that is listening to the teaching and preaching of God's word. So this is kind of a weird sermon. It's a sermon on how you can get the most out of sermons. Those of you who know me, I'm an efficiency guy. I don't like to do things twice. I don't like to do things over. I don't like to not get the absolute most out of any 5 minutes of energy I expend. So you guys are here devoting, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, however long I go on here, this morning, and about 30, 40 minutes every other time when Pastor Jim preaches. And I want you to get the most out of it, specifically when he preaches. We all have the privilege of sitting under the rich pulpit ministry of Dr. Jim Mann every Sunday morning. The Word of God is going forth from up here. And we're seeing some lives transformed. We hear about it trickling in. This life was changed, that life changed. I'm thrilled with that. But I want to see more of it. You know me, my driving motivation in life is the expansion of God's kingdom. I want more and more people to come into his kingdom to make it bigger. And I want more and more of my heart to be under the rule of the king. I want to see God's kingdom expanded in those two ways. And Pastor Jim, on a weekly basis, is doing his part. He spent many years in education, and he spends many hours in preparation every week. We know at the office because his door is shut. And he's in there praying and studying and listening to God. He's doing his part so that we can be fed on Sundays. But did you know that what happens on this side of the pulpit is every bit as important as what happens on this side? If the word of God is going to come from his mouth through the preacher and lodge in your heart, that it might affect change. You've got to cooperate. You and I have to cooperate. If God's words is going to come through Jim's mouth, not just into your ears, but into your mind and heart, so that it can bounce back to heaven full of the change it's made in you. I love to preach, but I also love to sit under good preaching. I'm going to teach you how I do that this morning. Told Jim I was going to teach you how to listen to his preaching, so here goes. And the title of this message is How to Be Consistently Thrilled and Transformed by the Preaching of God's Word. One of the things I learned when I first fell in love with the Lord in the early 70s, they put me in the cradle in the nursery at church, so I've been in church all my life, but I really came to know and love the Lord in the early 70s. And one thing I realized is I knew some folks who had been sitting under preaching for 50 years and had, remember the, some of you don't remember, they used to have a badge that every year of perfect attendance, you got another little year with that on, and they could be that long. But I've known some folks who sat under good preaching for years and years and are still as mean as rattlesnakes. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily make a difference just that you're here. But there's a reason why I sit there every Sunday morning. And I do that wherever I go to church. I want front and center. That's me. I come to listen to preaching. I want to get every word. I want to get every nuance of inflection. I want to, and because, not because I want to learn a lot. I study enough where I don't learn a lot of extra new things from preaching. I want to be changed a lot, okay? And I just want to share with you from Isaiah 55. What helps me grow stronger. And in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3 and 12, and many other places in God's Word, but Isaiah compares taking in God's Word to eating a sumptuous meal that helps you grow and makes you stronger. And so let me read for you Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 and 12. And keep that in mind as I read. Here's the word of the Lord. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water, and you without silver, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, the Lord says, and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The promise is assured to David. And then verse 12 starts with this. Once you learn to come and listen and accept, once you take that food into you and it becomes part of you, then you're ready to walk out. It says, you will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided. So there's four things, and you have a bulletin that has that very simple outline. But it's what I want you to learn to do. And at the end of this passage, end of this message, I'm going to go over those four things just one at a time. And I'm going to ask, is that the thing that needs to change in your life this week? I'm going to ask you to listen to the Lord during this message to see if one of those areas you could make some progress in this coming week. And the first one is come. You've got to come to a place where you can be consistently fed a healthy diet of the transforming Word of God. You've got to take the initiative. God is not going to reach into your bedroom, shake you awake, and drag you here and plunk you down in a pew on Sunday mornings. He's not going to do that. The Bible makes it clear that from the first day of Christianity, as soon as the first people were saved, in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching, it wasn't written down yet, but it became written down, and there it is right there.
They devoted themselves. That's the first description of them. Those are the first four or five words after the first church on the first day with the first 3,000 who were saved. I remember sitting in classes at seminary listening to missionaries who had come in from especially the crudest civilizations in the jungles of South America and Africa. And they would tell of people who walked, they'd have a preaching day announced in some, you know, just put lay some logs down around in a clearing, and they'd have a preaching day or preaching 2 days announced. And people would walk for hours through the jungle, sometimes a couple of days to get there. And they'd spend hours and hours for a day or two listening to one preacher after another. And they told us that if you preached for less than 2 hours, the congregation felt like you'd cheated them. So I'm not going to cheat you this morning, but I'll try to keep it down to an hour and three quarters or something like that. But it was amazing to me then, and seeing some of the, you know, back in those times, the simple home movies that they took of that kind of thing. I want to encourage you that if you just come to church sporadically, we've all got challenges, and now, obviously, there'll be phases in your life when you have more challenges than others. If you just had a baby, if you're sick, if you got some other issues. But if you come to church just sporadically, just when everything works out right on a particular Sunday morning, don't be surprised that God's Word is not effectively working on you to produce much change. Pastor Jim, every Sunday, is going to be doing his part up here. He not only preaches great sermons, he preaches great series. That last one was really impactful for me. But if you're going to get the most out of it, you've got to be here for the whole series. Sometimes they build on one another. And back when I was growing up, an active church member, I was a Baptist. An active church member was someone who went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then if they were really zealous, they went to Tuesday night visitation. I think Jim's mentioned it before, but you know how active church members defined today? Someone who attends a service of some kind twice a month. Now, I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying there's a whole lot of difference. And the current state of the church may be a result of some of that. Did you know that in the United States, 150 churches close their doors for the last time every, what do you think? Week. Every week, 150 churches finally give up. And somebody locks the door for the last time. Now, fortunately, new churches are born. But the, you know what, the net, you watch any graph, the net on the number of churches in the United States is like that and has been for a number of years. If you want a strong church that can minister to you strongly, then you might want to up your game on the consistency of coming to where you can hear from the Word of God and be fed. When you do that, when you come, the next thing you need to do is listen. You need to listen to the Word of God when it's being preached, when Jim gets up here and shares with you. But you can't listen in just any old way. You can't be in the mode of, okay, I'm here, give it your best shot. Don't expect to get a lot out of preaching that way. You've got to listen carefully, as the words Isaiah 55 gives. Eagerly, actively, with discernment. Jesus said this. He not only told people to listen to him, but he said in Mark 4:24, be careful how you listen. Because you can listen in different ways. Let me ask you this. Has this word been coming forth from God's mouth into your heart regularly lately? Are you getting as much out of the worship services as you'd like to? Are you getting as much out of the worship services as God would like for you to? Do you find yourself, your mind wandering during the preaching? No amens to that, please. Do you find it hard to get in the mood for praise and worship? Well, here's what you need to start doing. Verse 2 says it. Listen carefully, and verse 3 expands on it. Pay attention. I like a literal translation of that one Greek word that is rendered here, pay attention. This is a good translation, but a literal translation is stretch out your ear. Now, for me with my big ears, they don't have to be stretched out a lot. I can hear your stomach gurgling on the next to the last row there. I saw your mom, by the way, at Rose. But that is the posture. And that's why I'm sitting right here. That's part of I'm stretching out my ear. You want to lean in to the one who is speaking. Don't make them come to you. Now, a skilled speaker having a good day can do that. He can get to you and draw you in. But don't depend on that if you want to consistently be transformed by the Word of God. You don't depend on the preacher. You depend on the Word he's preaching. All right? If Jim illustrations of a point don't seem to apply really to you, then think of how that truth does apply to you. See, what's happening here is as important as what's happening here. Take more notes. Go over the notes during the week. I know some of you guys do that. If you're a note taker, that can really help. And I'm not asking you to think about this. You know me. I don't ask you to think about a lot. What I ask you to do is do it. To make a commitment now. And so I want to ask some of you, at the end of this message, I want to ask you to think through this. Do you need to make a commitment this morning? I'm not talking about public commitment. A private commitment between you and God. I'm going to start listening harder. I'm not going to depend on Jim having a good day in the pulpit. I'm going to depend on me having a great day in the pew, hearing from God. So then if you consistently go to where you can be fed, and you listen carefully, and you understand, the next thing that Isaiah 55 says you need to do is you need to accept. He uses the word eat. You need to accept the word that you hear. You need to internalize it. Verse 1, God says, come, buy, and eat. The eating part is important on a Sunday morning. Ingest the truths God so richly provides to you. Don't just window shop. Don't just admire the food. Your father owns the steakhouse and the ice cream shop. Go in and feast. Verse 2 says, enjoy. How do you do this? You dig in. You believe his word. You accept it as true. You assume that what God said in his word is right and it's best. If it's something new to you, a new principle, a new truth, you begin by adjusting your thinking to that. Not by asking God to adjust his thinking to you. That's where the accepting part comes. And if your new knowledge of God's word requires a change in your values, in your priorities, you just implement it. You start putting first the things God puts first. God explains why in verses 8 and 9 of this same chapter. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration, for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the question God put to me as I was preparing this is, so Jeff, which of your low-down ways and thoughts do you need to change? And I want to ask you the same question. You know, we tend to elevate ourselves so much and think, well, I've arrived at all truth. Yeah? And God says, no, not quite. You got a little ways to go. And so the invitation is, give up your low-down ways and thoughts and accept his higher ones. Some of you know right now, as you sit there, as I sit here, stand here, that you and God are in disagreement on some issues. Maybe some practical issues in your life. You'll deal, I know what I ought to do, but I'm just not ready to do it. Okay? If you and God are in disagreement on some things, I've got a news flash for you. He's not going to change his mind. You can't wait him out. Wouldn't this be a great morning to get on his side of whatever is the issue that you guys are having a little disagreement about? Now, the word I felt like the Lord gave me, the specific word was override. And that's what I try to do in my life as I'm pouring through the scriptures, as I'm listening to them preached. And there's something that God's, now, I want to discern. I want to make sure I understand it. But once I understand it, if it's not what I'm doing, if it's not what I'm believing, if it's not what I'm feeling especially, that's a big one. I'm just not feeling it. Well, I let the Word of God override what I'm thinking, doing, and feeling. And I'm inviting you to make that as your default mode, that the Word of God overrides anything else in your life. So if you want to let God's word transform you, first you need to come to where it's consistently being fed. Secondly, you need to stretch your ear toward it, actively listen to hear it and understand it. Third, you need to, once you understand it, accept it as truth into the depth of your heart. There's one more thing, and this thing is crucial. This point is crucial. You got to do it. You need to do the Word of God. The little picture I got was of someone carrying a Bible down the road. Doesn't mean you got to go down there and preach. Well, God may give you someone to share with, but it means you take the Word of God. And it's no longer good enough for it to be in here. Even in here, it's got to be out here. Does that make sense? Verse 12 says, if you do all this, come, hear, listen, then you will go out with joy. You need to take the Word of God in and then walk it out. Does that make sense? I'm asking you to do some things this morning. Pastor Jim, as he preaches week by week, will be asking you to do some stuff. Now, you're responsible to listen and discern. Like the Bereans. You remember the Bereans were... Is that my alarm that I'm time to go? Oh, okay. Well, my yeah, a smoke detector is my timer when I cook, and so my kids and grandkids know that. Back to the subject at hand. Jim is going to give you some stuff as you hear him preaching. He's going to give you some stuff to do. And you do have a responsibility, like the Bereans. They were commended in that they would hear Paul preach. And he said, you know what? They'd take it home and they'd study the scriptures to make sure it was right. Okay? And so you're responsible to do that. But once you're pretty sure it's what God's word says, you need to do it. Do. If God's called you, and he has almost all of us, to sit under the rich pulpit ministry of Pastor Jim, then you need to give that some weight in hearing from what God wants you to do. The principle is clearly and plainly written in Scripture in Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they know they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this joyfully and not with sorrow, for that would certainly not be for your benefit. And Jesus warned us in Matthew 7 about the danger of listening and not doing. He said, I'll tell you what a foolish man is. He's someone who hears the word of God but does not obey it. He's like a man who built a house, maybe a shack, maybe a fine castle. But he built it on sand. And regardless of how impressive the house is, when the storms come and the winds blow and the waters rise, that house is going to fall down. And you don't want to be like that. Like someone who hears but doesn't carry it out. But here's what Jesus said on the positive side. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built upon the rock. What do you want, rock or sand as your foundation? And we get rock. Sometimes that foundation is laid stone at a time over a number of years. But if you're not going to the quarry and getting those stones on a regular basis, don't hope that when you get the weather alert on your phone app, that the storm's about to come toward your house, don't hope that you can run out and build a foundation then. And listening attentively, acceptingly to the spoken word of God will build that foundation in you. Hun, can you hand me one of those little things there? Okay, we're going to end with this. I love to share the word of God with you. Okay, would you look at that? Four things with such clever graphics that I chose. Yeah, I spent 10 hours choosing these graphics and 2 hours working on the sermon, so hopefully you'll look at them. Okay, so which of these do you need to work on? Listen to God. Which of these things would God have you work on this week? Come. You need to more consistent. You need to make it a matter of commitment to the Lord this morning that you will more consistently come to where you can be fed. You know, the spread can be sumptuous and delicious and healthy and full. But if you only eat once every 3 weeks, don't expect to be real healthy. Okay? So maybe God will speak to you and say, I need to make it a priority to be here, to get fed. Maybe God will speak to you and say, you need to listen a little more carefully as you're being taught the Word of God. You need to not wonder, I wonder if it's going to be a good sermon today. You know, I've shared with you before, especially when I was a Baptist, and the custom was you stand at the back door as after the service, and people go by and shake your hand, and good sermon, preacher. Now, with me, it's more, yeah. But but I've said over and off and on, I don't want to so much hear good sermon preacher as I want to hear, you know what, I'm going to start doing point two. That's what I want to hear. That's what Pastor Jim wants to hear. I'm going to start doing that. That made sense to me. That got a hold of me. Now, some of you are experiencing that on a weekly basis. That's great. But maybe God will say to you, okay, I want you to take the responsibility. Listen harder. The other one is accept. You can take good food. I hope this isn't too gross. You can take good food and you can chew on it and get all the taste out of it and enjoy it. But if you spit it out without swallowing it, you're not going to be built up. Okay? And so there comes a time when, whether personal study or listening to preaching, you have tasted of the Word of God, there comes a time when you say, you know, I don't understand everything about it. I'm never going to. Some of the things that I do understand are a little hard for me to deal with, but I'm going to swallow it. It's going to become part of me. And maybe that's what God needs to say and wants to say to you, the commitment He wants you to make this morning. I am going to accept the Word that I understand. And now, if it turns out you understood it wrong, God can fix that. You know, He's got the rest of your life. But you don't grow by being tentative all the time. Well, maybe this, maybe that, I don't know. You go to the Word that's best you can. You find someone who can share the Word with you on a regular basis that you feel like is honest to the Word. And you say, okay, unless there's some other reason not to, I'm going to just take this in and assume that's the truth. And maybe that's where you are. And then the last one is, do it. Maybe this week, this day, God wants you to commit for this week to start doing one thing that He's told you. Just one thing. I like small beginnings. Just one thing. If you take that one thing, say, God, yes. I've preached to you over and over again Jesus' favorite two words, yes, Lord. That's what He loves to hear. And so I just want you to invite you on the do it end of this thing. Just say, yes, Lord. I'll start doing that. And it'll make a difference. Okay? All right. Would you stand with me? It's good to be with you guys. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift your people up before you. Raise them into your presence where there is blessing always. And ask that your blessing permeate this congregation. There are many here, Lord, who have ears to hear. They're hearing from you daily, putting it into practice. We want to do that better, Lord. We want to do that more. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to be some prayer partners up here at the front. Be glad to do business with God with you. I love to participate in that. When God tells me something to do, I love to go to somebody and say, hey, here's what God's saying for me to do. Will you pray with me? Join me in that. All right? Okay. Now, one thing you can do, you can sign up for the Fall Festival. Great opportunities on the sign up there. We also, on Saturday before, it's 2 weeks from today, but the Saturday before, we'll be spending quite a bit of the day setting things up. Hopefully, we won't have to wear life vests while we're doing it. But
Lord bless you and keep you, Lord. Make his face to shine upon you. The Lord look at you and give you his peace.